so quiet in this church. We're supposed to be a shouting church. Oh, glory to God. I'm glad there's going to be a short time of silence in heaven, because we're going to be too excited to keep silent, right? Hallelujah. I'm just going to pray over the word. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you tonight. We thank you for your most precious word. And I just pray, Father, that we continue to grow and grow and grow and learn the things that you want us to learn. And I thank you for your spirit, your Holy Spirit in this place that brings revelation knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you know you never stop growing in the word? You know, a lot of times we can get familiar with the word. Sometimes we've heard messages, I've heard that before, or I've heard that, you know, and we become familiar, and then we just don't do it. We just, oh yeah, I heard that. Oh yeah, I did that once and it worked. I don't need to do it again. No, we're called to walk by faith, amen? Because faith is what pleases God. And we've been talking about building our faith, and we're talking about meditation. And honestly, I would say we should be responsible to walk by faith. It's our responsibility, amen? How many of you know you get saved by faith? How do you know that? Because if you've never seen heaven, but you're born again, you believe it's there by faith, right? You believe in salvation by faith. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to go to Joshua 1:8 again tonight. We might have a few scriptures that we went over with last week again. And we're going to talk about building our faith and how important it is. Listen, folks, in this life, you can't trust the doctors anymore. I mean, they can go so far because they don't all have the knowledge that God has. Amen? They're not God. I believe doctors are good and they do their best. But you know what? When the doctors can't help you or you're on 50 different medications, come on now. You got to learn to go to God for your healing. And you're going to do that by faith. And God is not withholding any good thing. He wants you blessed. He wants to see you healthy. He provided for it. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord that healeth us. Over and over again, the Bible says that by the stripes of Jesus, now some of you get that familiar spirit rising up. Oh, yeah, I heard that before. But I wonder if you really know what it means. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed and made whole. In other words, he took all of your sickness upon himself so that you don't have to be sick anymore. It's not something God uses to train you up. Yeah, there's tests and trials, there's tribulations in this world, but you know what? We're more than a conqueror, and God has given us the ability to conquer those things. Same thing with our finances. People are working 40, 50, 60 hours a week just to live or trying to find a job. You can have the greatest education. You can have so many good things, and still things don't work out. But when you have faith and God moves, some of you say, I need a new car. Start writing it down and start believing God for it. Ask God for it. He wants to show up. Do you know when we first started learning faith a long time ago, we were pastoring the first couple of years, and we said we needed a car. And so we were kind of getting crazy out there, you know. We were like, we're just going to believe God that we're going to get a car and we don't have any payments. We're going to be out of debt. We're not going to go to the car place or anything like that. And so we got together and we agreed in prayer and we were, God, we just thank you for this car. We thank you. You know, I don't know how detailed we were in it. I can't remember, but I remember praying and believing God, and we were not going to tell anybody. You know, when you start believing God, you don't want to tell anybody but God, because when it shows up, you know that it was God that showed up. And I will never forget this. It was a Sunday evening before church, and we're getting ready, and somebody came to our door, and we were like, who's that? We got to get to church. You know, you're in a hurry, and you're the preacher, so you got to be there, right? And it was a lady in our church with her 16-year-old son. And she said, I know you guys are going to church, but I just had to, my son, he said he had to do this. And they showed up at our door, and this 16-year-old boy had a car that he was taking, you know, it was his first car. And he said, and she said, he just came to me and he said, I feel so compelled to give my car to the pastors. Do you know how humbling that was for us? We didn't want to take any young kid, 16-year-old, his car. We were like, no, we don't want to. No, you have to take my car. God spoke to me, you have to take my car. And we had to take his car, and he got another one. It was so supernatural. We knew it was God, but we were like, God, you know, like, sometimes, you know, God's looking for people that hear his voice. And he wanted to bless that young man. And that young man brought that car. He brought it that night. He would not take it. He drove away with his mom. He would not take it. And it was just so humbling. And I can tell you so many times when we've asked God for things and never told anybody, and God would show up. But God wants you to ask him. He wants to be your provider. He wants to be your healer and your deliverer. But start talking to him about what are the dreams and the desires in your heart. You know, he puts those desires in there. But you got to start talking to him. And then and a lot of people don't, because they don't meditate on his word and they don't know God wants to do something for them. They don't know he's a good God. They don't know that he'll give you the desires of your heart. They're not confident. Well, I can do this on my own. I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but I can just take care of life myself. It's so much better with Jesus. It's so much better with Jesus. So let's just go ahead and get started real quick here. Joshua 1:8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate. That word meditate means to think about it, means to mutter it, means to talk it. Some people call it self-talk. Have you ever seen anybody? You know, when we were growing up, we thought if you talk to yourself, you were crazy. But when you talk to yourself about the word of God, you're not crazy. Amen? It says, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous. Say prosperous. And then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Prosperous and good success. That's good. That's a good thing. Amen? A lot of people, you know, they shy away from that prosperity word. But you know what? God has not called you to poverty. He's called you to prosperity. He is Jehovah El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He said, if you will meditate in my word, and you will observe and do according to all that is written in it, you will make your way prosperous. Who's going to make your way prosperous? No. Get back to that scripture. Look at the scripture up here. Who's going to make your way prosperous? For then you will make your way prosperous, and you shall deal wisely, and you shall have good success. You see? But it comes by putting the word of God in our mouth and meditating on it day and night. Let's look over at Psalms 1:1-3. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means don't go to counselors that are not godly. They might be good people, but you need to hear godly counsel. Amen? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. See, God wants us to delight in his word. A lot of times we look at it as a chore or a task, or I gotta memorize a scripture, I gotta meditate on the word of God. No, God is saying that the man that delights in the law of the Lord and in his law he meditates day and night. Look at verse 3. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. A tree that grows on the riverbanks enjoys a constant supply of what? water. Constant supply of water. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. How many of you want to bring fruit in your season? Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I remember hearing one person years ago saying, whose leaf shall not wither. It's funny that a leaf is green and our money is green. Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, say whatever he does, shall prosper. So he's saying here, if your delight is in the word of God and you're meditating on this word day and night, now does that mean you're walking around with your Bible? Actually, you can just meditate. I have scriptures up all the time. You know, they have this little thing that you can, I don't even know what you call it, but it's in your phones, and I have it on all the time. So, like, I go to my lists, and if I'm working, I put my makeup on, I just copy it, and it confesses all my scriptures to me that I have laid out for that day, you know? And so whenever I'm walking around, I'll do it, you know, like a few times a day, what is that thing called anyhow? Do you know, honey? It's some kind of accessory, and it's in the iPhone anyhow. And anyhow, I have these notes, and I have different confessions for different things and different scriptures. And sometimes it's just two or three, but I'll just keep clicking it over and over, and I'll just keep hearing it say it over and over. Amen? Because you can take the word with you wherever you go now. And honestly, if you just memorize a scripture or you're thinking about a scripture, you start thinking about it. A lot of times, maybe you're going through a time of decision making, and or you know, you can talk about, you know, that you're going to deal wisely. You can meditate on scriptures that talk about the wisdom of God. Like in James, where it says he gives it to us liberally and he upbraideth us not. And you talk about things and you start meditating and you get things down into your spirit and you think of those things. Or instead of worry or instead of fear, you've meditated and God has not given me a spirit of fear. God is with me always. He'll never leave me or forsake me. Those scriptures I have down good because I had to, you know the testimony of the claustrophobia. And that day, I, every time I get in an elevator now, that scripture comes up. He'll never leave me or forsake me. God is with me always. But those scriptures set me free from that fear of any kind of claustrophobic. And it'll set you free from anything, fear of lack, fear of sickness, fear of dying. Amen? God promises us long life and many days on the earth. But you get those scriptures on the inside of you, and instead of thinking the other thoughts, you replace those thoughts with the word of God. Amen? And it takes time, but you can do it. You can do it. So how many of you want to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water? Amen? You have a constant supply of water, even in dry seasons. And so when a Christian meditates on the word of God day and night, they enjoy spiritual nourishment. They're getting nourished in their spirit. And the word of God begins to equip them to be able to handle anything that comes their way. Now, let's talk about David for a minute. David had a heart after God. And I want to read a few scriptures because, you know, honestly, he has so many scriptures on meditation. You know, people say, oh, I want to be like David. I want to have a heart after God. God, I want you to see my heart after you. Well, let's look at some of the things that David said. Let's look at Psalms 19:14. He says this. He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation, say meditation, of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Is your meditation acceptable in God's sight? Are you meditating on what he says about you, that you're more than a conqueror, that you're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that he supplies all of your needs, or where is the meditation of you, in your heart? Is the meditation in your heart like in, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this, or I can't find a job, or I have fear of this? You know, what are you thinking about? Where are your thoughts? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's see what David thought about in Psalms 104:34. He says, "For I rejoice in the Lord." For I rejoice in the Lord. That was Psalm 104:34. Psalms 119:15 says, "I will meditate on your precepts and I'll fix my eyes on your ways." You know, there's always going to come another way. There's always going to come another way to do something. But how about we fix our eyes on God's way, on His way to do things? You know, even when you're going for a job or a career or a school, you should pray over that, because you give your heart, you open up your heart to hear from the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes, you know, you shouldn't be going in that direction. Sometimes we want something so bad. I'm going to go to this school. I'm going to take this job. I'm going to live in this city. Come on now. You've got to open up your heart to the wisdom of God and hear from God. And David, he had a heart. He meditated on God's precepts. He fixed his eyes on God's ways. And then in Psalm 119:97, he said, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Let me ask you again. What are you thinking about most of the time? Are you angry, frustrated, thinking about lack, not wanting to live? Where's the world going? You know, I talk to people and, you know, you hear people make remarks, you know, whether you're in the store, yeah, the whole world's going apart, you know. and their thoughts are just there. There's no hope. And a lot of people have hopelessness. Where are your thoughts? What do you think about most of the time? Are you thinking on God's word, or are you thinking in other areas? God's word needs to be an integral part of your life, not just one little piece over here. It should be all of you. It's not, you know, we come to church not because it's a religious thing to do, but because it's our life. When we weren't pastors, we were in church every time the doors opened. We love the word not just because we preach it. We were in the word always before we were pastoring. When you get a hold of faith, when you get a hold of the revelation of the word of God, you're just hungry. You just want to be with God. And to be in his word is to be with God. Amen? You can change those thoughts, but you got to grab a hold of them. You got to pay attention to what you're thinking about. Because our mind, I don't care if you've been a Christian for as long as I have. Your mind will still go to places it should not go to. And you got to catch it. You got to catch those thoughts. No, you're not going there. That's not happening in my house, in Jesus' name. Amen. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You might think you're something else, but how are you thinking in your heart? Let's look at James 1:21. Are you getting something? Hallelujah. James 1:21. I'm afraid to say this because it might turn the ear down, but I'm freezing. I'm never freezing. Hallelujah. 1:21 says, "So get rid of all uncleanness." This is in the Amplified. "So get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word," say the word, "which implanted and rooted in our hearts contains the power to save your souls." I love those words. Receive and welcome the word which implanted and rooted in your heart. See, you want to get something rooted. Jesus talks about the seed of the word in Matthew and Mark and Luke. I'm not going to go there tonight. But you want to get the word of God rooted inside of you. When everything around you is telling you something, you know, it's hopeless. You're never going to get that job. You're never going to get that car. You're never going to make it. You can't go to that school. You can't do this. You're going to die. You might as well just, you know. No, when the word of God is rooted inside of your heart, the word of God has so much power. And when it's implanted and rooted in your hearts, it contains power to save your souls. It contains power to heal you. It contains power to deliver you in any single area and to bring you the desires of your heart. How think about, is the Word of God rooted and planted in my heart? And there's so many, I'm still planting the Word in my heart. I want strong roots. I want roots that can't be pulled up. The seeds go down deep, and you have to water those seeds and pay attention to those seeds. Don't pay attention to the seeds of the enemy, because a lot of times there's roots that need to be dug up that don't belong there. And the only thing that can dig those roots up is the Word of God. The Word planted in you will rise up. It will conquer. Actually, Pastor Maureen said this in one of her books that I read. She said, the Word planted in you will rise up and conquer strongholds that the enemy wants you to agree with. The Word of God planted in you, it will rise up. It will conquer the strongholds. See, a lot of times we're trying to deal with strongholds in the flesh. We're trying to deal with strongholds, you know, just with our mind. And, oh, I know I'm not supposed to do this, and I can't do this, and no, and yes, and whatever. But you got to put the Word in. It's not just by willpower, or we wouldn't need the Word of God. The Word says, I can do all things through Christ. We quote that scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But think about it. Look it up in five different versions. I can do all things through Christ who makes me strong. See, when you start meditating on scriptures and thinking on them, they really get in your spirit. And then one day, when you're saying, no, I don't want to get in that elevator, all of a sudden, the stronghold is broken and the scriptures are flooding. It's flooding your heart and you've broken that thing. Same thing with lack. Listen, I don't care what you say. The body of Christ, the people are living so below the level of what God has for them. With all the Word that we've gotten in us, we should all own 47 houses, and we should be housing the homeless that Pastor Ed talked about. Amen. It's not just about having houses and cars. But God likes to bless us. He's a blessing God, amen? I mean, I tell you what, he's the one that decided to make streets of gold in heaven. Hallelujah. But we've been too relaxed. We've been laid back with our faith. And I know a lot of you, some of you that have been with us for years, you got your jobs and your promotions and your homes and your cars. I know there's lots of testimonies in this church simply by faith, simply by writing it down, simply by believing God and getting in the scriptures and believing God for those things. But we've been relaxed. We've been kind of laid back in our faith. And let me ask you this tonight. This will give you a good test. What are you believing God for? Are you believing God for anything? Or is just life so good that you're just going to wait until you have to believe God for something? Come on now. Let me ask you this. What scriptures are you standing on? You know, you can use your faith for your family to be saved. The Bible says you and your household shall be saved. God will do, if somebody is standing in the gap, God will go to great lengths to get your family saved. There's so many scriptures. You know, there's so many scriptures concerning that. What in any area, I don't care what area it is that you need, there are so many scriptures. But what are you standing on? But I'm telling you, it's going to be like, it's kind of like, how can I say this? You know, there's this guy, and he's just kind of sitting on his couch, and he's watching TV. He's hanging out, he's eating popcorn, ordering pizza, just a couch potato, not doing much in life, ordering, I don't know, today you can order anything from DoorDash, I guess. You know, and he's kind of hanging out, and he's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. He's not exercising, he's not doing anything, he's just basically, you know, living the life. Oh, life's pretty good. But all of a sudden, a robber comes in his house, breaks in. The guy jumps up. He's so out of shape that he has a heart attack and dies. I know that might not be the best scenario to say tonight. But you know what? He just kind of went through life and enjoyed life. When the robber came, he didn't have the strength to beat the robber. And if faith isn't built, we won't have the faith to overcome. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And not just by hearing a Sunday morning message or a Sunday night. We need to go home and feed ourselves. God wants to talk to you. And he talks to you through his word. He wants to, it's the greatest joy that you could ever have is having that fellowship with the word. Amen. We often talk about, and I don't know if some of you were saved back then, but back when we got saved, you know, there was no iPhones or anything, and then we got turned on to the word of faith. Everybody carried their Bibles. They were in love with you. You wouldn't be caught anywhere without your Bible. And some of them were pretty big. They'd have a singles thing, and we'd all go to breakfast, and we all walk in with our Bibles. Everywhere we went in the town, everybody knew who we were. We were the Bible-toting believers. Amen? But it wasn't like a religious thing. You had to have God. You felt like with your Bible, you had God with you. And it was exciting. And we're praying for just a hunger to increase in the people in this congregation, the people that call us their pastor. When we pray for you, we pray, we go before God, we say, God, everyone that calls us their pastor, and then we pray for you in different areas. But we pray for you to be hungry for the word of God, because that's the most important thing. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. It makes no difference how much education you have. It doesn't matter how old you are. You could be young. You could be old. Listen, you can move mountains. You can believe God for areas for your family. Like, you need to get a notebook and write down all the desires of your heart. And just start believing God. Start finding the scriptures. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter the kind of education you have. It doesn't matter the job you have. God will show up. Because the Bible says that faith pleases God. And God shows up where faith is. Amen? In Proverbs 4:23, we talked a little bit about this last week. He says it like this: keep your heart with all diligence. Keep going. For out of it are the issues of life. And another translation says, out of your heart are going to be the boundaries of your life. What is in your heart? What are you thinking on? What are you meditating on? What are you putting inside of your heart? Amen? How are you renewing your mind? I'm not talking about what's coming out of your head. Not one ounce of faith is going to come out of your head. It's going to come out of your heart. The unlimited power of God can come out of your heart. If you could dream, I was just, you know, like, I'm not going to tell you anything I'm dreaming of. None of your business. But I share it with my husband. I go, you know, I'm going to get radical and start believing God for some things that I just would like to have. You know? And I got some thoughts. I got some desires. And when they happen, I'll show them to you. Amen? But if you could dream, if you could have the dream job, if you could go to the dream school, what is it that you want to do? Let God in and let him help you through his word. Amen? See, if you're not in faith, you're not in the driver's seat. You're being driven by the enemy. The only thing the devil's afraid of is faith. Because he knows you believe God's word. Think about Goliath. I saw this, and this is so awesome. Goliath over in 1 Samuel, he said, you know, Goliath came, he had a shield and a sword and a spear. And David said to him, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord our host. But let me ask you, did David have a sword? Wait a minute. David had the word of God in his mouth. And David had the shield of faith. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord our host. He said, today God's going to give you to me. Amen? Amen? David had a sword. He had faith. He had everything Goliath had, but he had it on another level. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you have it on another level, nothing can overcome you. The problem is, a lot of times, most of the time, I know I find this is, I felt like the Holy Spirit was dealing me, and it was like he was saying, your faith is standing still. I mean, you know, we have to use our faith. We're using our faith for land. We're using our faith for buildings. But personally, we really weren't using our faith for some of the things that we needed to happen. We kind of slacked off. We kind of got relaxed. Our faith was standing still. And we need to move our faith. We need to exercise our faith. God is looking for faith. Faith pleases God. The children of Israel, when they didn't mix the word with faith, they didn't receive anything. Is that not true? Amen? And a lot of times we're waiting. You know, even myself, you know, I'm always, I need to listen to another message. I need to get my faith stirred up. We're looking for the next sermon or the next preacher. God's just saying, just meditate on my word. Just get my word on the inside of you. You know, meditation is like having a meal. Listen to me. How many of you like to eat healthy? How many of you know you should eat healthy even if you don't like to eat healthy? Some hands were not up because you didn't like to eat healthy. But we are told by nutritionists, eat this, take these vitamins, you'll get healthy. Well, how do you know they're telling you the truth? How do you know if you go on the vegan diet that you're going to be healthy? How do you know if you take vitamin D and zinc and whatever they tell you? How do you know? You're just believing the words of man. And of course, they say they prove it and everything, but you're wanting your physical body to be nutritious. Well, when you read the Word of God, the Word of God is like a meal. And God showed me this tonight as I was typing. It was the last thing he showed me. And it's in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. It said, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And in verse 3, it says, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. But Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And when it just came up in my spirit when I was just typing this message, and it was like, wow, we look and see the goodness and the nutrition in certain foods and in vitamins. Well, God's word is more powerful than any of that. He said, we can't live on that alone, but we can live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We can live on that. And Jesus, he's the one, you know, he had the word on the inside of him. And he said this. He said, yeah, we can't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I'm telling you, the words that come from the mouth of God, they're able to destroy the darkness around us. They are able to step on the devil's head. They're able to bring finances and healing and deliverance and salvation. They are so powerful. But if we just don't do anything with it, if we don't feed on it, if you don't feed on a good diet, listen, I know when I'm feeding on a good diet and I'm exercising, I feel pretty good. When I start eating crap, I feel pretty good while I'm eating it. That's as far as it gets. And then after I start feeling really bad, I say to myself, oh, I forgot when I eat that, I feel this way. I I don't really forget, but. But I'm telling you, if you'll feed on the Word of God, it'll change so many things in your life. And no one spends time in the Word of God and remains unchanged. Nobody. No one spends time meditating on the Word of God and remains unchanged. I've seen people change. I've seen people in our congregation change. I've seen our pastors change. I've seen people change. I could tell when they would shift and they're in the Word of God, and I'm like, man, they've changed. I've seen people all of a sudden, they're mad at the world and now they love the world because they fed on the Word of God. I've seen young people change because they took the Word of God and they ate it. And I want to read this last scripture as the worship team comes. And this came to me as I was sitting over there just before service. It's in Jeremiah verses 15 and 16. Chapter 15, verse 16. It says, when your words came, I ate them, and they were my joy and my heart's delight. In the New Living Translation, it says, when I discovered your words, I devoured them. They are my joy and my heart's delight. And in one more translation, in the English Standard, it says, your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and delight of my heart. Doesn't that go along with Jesus said, you know, we don't live by bread alone? God's words are pleasant to eat. He said, I ate your word. I was hungry. I found your word. I wanted it. I was hungry for it. I took time with it. And I know, you know, everything is vying for your attention. We have families. We have responsibilities. But I'm telling you, this will change your schedule. It'll change everything if you take the time to meditate, to get in the scriptures, to read. You know, I don't know what people need, but if you need healing, then get everything of healing inside of you. Just take a week and say, I'm just going to feed on healing. I'm going to meditate on healing. If you need wisdom, just, you know, meditate on the wisdom scriptures. You know, just there's everything. If you need understanding, the Bible says that Solomon had understanding as the sand on the seashore. Can you imagine having that much understanding? But you know, he didn't meditate on some of the other scriptures because he messed up with the girls. So you got to cover yourself. You got to get those scriptures. But he had understanding as the sand on the seashore. He had wisdom and understanding. I say that all the time. I say, Lord, I just thank you. You're no respecter of persons, and I have understanding as the sand on the seashore. You know, I want wisdom. That was the greatest thing. God gave Solomon everything else when he asked for that. There are things that haven't even been created yet. There are businesses that haven't been created yet. We should be believing God for that. Believing God for finances, even if you're rich. Because then we can take care of others. Amen. God, you put it in my hand. We've done that before. We've seen a need and we didn't have it to give. And we've said, God, if you'll put it in our hands, we'll give it. And God has done it and we have given it. God will do that. Amen. Hallelujah. So get into the Word of God. Find out what you need. You young people, you got a head start. You can move mountains. If depression is attacking you, you need to find those scriptures in oppression, because you know what? We can pray for people to be healed. We can pray for people to be set free. And a lot of times it will last, but a lot of times it don't, because people don't grab it and take it. But I'm telling you, when you get in the Word of God and you put that in you, that has so much power in it, it'll drive all that junk out. It'll drive it out. Hallelujah. I'm going to have you stand so I don't keep going on and on, because I had a lot. I had so many notes. I had like double. I said, Lord, this is a double portion of notes. I got to cut it down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're going to continue talking. Listen, God, there's no condemnation. God is not. You know, that's another area. Listen to me. Guilt, shame, condemnation. It just beats people to the ground. God is not mad at you because you're not meditating in the Word. He's just wanting you to get it. It'd be like, I'll walk up and I give Kathleen a $100 bill. And she's, no, I can't take that. I'm not going to take that. I can't take that. And so she just refuses to take it. I'm not going to get mad at Kathleen because she didn't take it. But if she took the $100 bill, it would have helped her. She could have. She's take it. She's going to take it. She says, I'll take it. I'll take it. I should have had one up here. So he's got the promises for you. He's not mad at you. Listen, while you were yet a sinner, he died on the cross for you. The Bible says, and it's true, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You've already been made more than a victor, more than a conqueror. Jesus, the Bible says, he bore our guilt and our shame. He felt it for us. So he's not holding something against you. Oh, you little brat, I'm going to wait until you pray for 10 years before you get anything. People say, well, I got to get in the Word. I got to get in it for like, you know, a month before I can ask God for something. I wish my kids were like that when they misbehaved. 2 seconds later, they're just like, you know, taking over the house. I'm telling you, God loves you tonight. Even those scriptures of who you are in Christ, meditating on that, getting it into your spirit. When I say who you are in Christ, a lot of people think, what does that even mean? When you find out, it'll change your whole life. You start putting those scriptures. Amen? Hallelujah. I keep saying I'm going to end this, but I'm not ending it yet. Hallelujah. But I am going to end it. I want you to lift your hands, and we'll just see what the Holy Spirit has for us tonight. And we're going to go ahead and let's take us into worship or praise, Alex. Hallelujah. I want to sometimes just grab you by the neck and say, just get in the Word. Amen. Some of you heard this before, but I'm ready for you guys to sing. I'll stop the minute I hear a note. But I had a lady years ago come up and she needed advice, and I started to minister to her the Word of God. And this is what she said. She said, the Word, the Word, the Word. Is that all you have? I need help. And I was like, I was just young in ministry, and I was like, what else do I have? You know, what else do I have? Okay, I heard a note. Let's worship God.